All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
So, hello.
Hi, how are ya?
I'm all right, I guess. I don't know. Things are weird. Mercury's in retrograde still, and it's kicking my ass. I don't know. Have things been weird for you lately?
A lot of really tiny things, which don't usually happen. It's usually like one big thing, which is catastrophic.
Yeah, it just feels like, I don't know. For me, it's just a lot of little things happening, a lot of little miscommunications. It just feels like everybody's taking things the wrong way. Everybody's taking the tone wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything's getting on my nerves.
Yes.
I don't know. But yeah, I guess everything's okay.
It's like everyone in the world is on their period.
Yes. Society is on its period.
Society is on its period. Hashtag. Make that a hashtag.
Absolutely. America. America's on its period. I was watching this hilarious TikTok yesterday, and somebody was on the street asking men how many tampons they think a woman uses on her period. And it went about as well as you think it would go.
My God. Did you send that to me or did I see that separately? Because I was watching that and dying.
I don't know, but it was hilarious. And yeah, I think that right now America needs the extra heavy and it needs to be changing it every 2 hours.
It's their flow.
Yeah, it's heavy. It's heavy.
It's heavy.
Yeah. Everybody needs to retake basic anatomy. Everybody, I don't know, maybe they weren't teaching this. I thought we all got that sex ed class. Were the boys in our generation not given that sex ed class? Was it just the girls?
They were taught, like, how babies were made. They weren't taught about periods.
Wow.
Which is, I feel like they should, it should be not embarrassing to talk about. It's anatomy. It's the most common thing that's dealt with every day. It's not shameful. I don't understand why it's so embarrassing to talk about. It's, the most common thing in the world.
I just feel like it's biology. It's how mammals work. You should know how not just babies are made, but what happens if an egg is not fertilized, what happens in a woman's body as well as in a man's body, not just because babies are made, but because your mother had you, you came from somewhere, farm animals do it. I assume that at some point you might live with other women. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, my son is gay. It doesn't matter. I still taught him the process. You might have roommates. You have friends. You have a sister. Like, this is just the basics. Like, Jesus. I was in shock. And, the only guy who had a semi-right answer, immediately the woman who was interviewing was like, wow, you must be married.
Yeah.
you just knew someone had trained him along the way. And it's sad. It's sad that that's the only one who knew.
Right?
Get with the program, please. It's not disgusting. It's not shameful. These are just bodies. And if a girl can learn how your junk works, you can learn how somebody else's junk works. It's okay.
It is
please.
Okay.
Holy God.
It's happening all around you.
I was talking to Ron as he was in traffic. I could hear all the horns blazing. I feel like that's just the vibe right now.
Yeah.
Everyone's leaning on their horn. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? There was a truck that had gone in the easy pass lane, and there are a billion gajillion signs
telling you. Some states might call it like Illinois, Chicago calls it I-pass. Like some states just change the first letter, but like lots of states have them. They just call it something else.
Right. It's generally, it's basically a pass, an electronic pass you pay for monthly so that you don't have to stop, so that the flow of traffic can move without stopping to hand a toll person and get change. But the idea is, you know, miles ahead of time, all the lanes are well marked. It's not like this truck didn't know what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He's either dumb, he cannot read English, or he's an asshole. Pick one. It doesn't matter. But if you get an easy pass lane and you do not have an easy pass, you're going to get a ticket. But it's not the end of the world. Your car is not going to get set on fire. You're just going to go through. The camera's going to take a picture of your license plate and they're going to mail you a ticket.
You pay it online.
But this guy, yeah. Right. But this guy realized what was happening, and he was trying to reverse in standstill Lincoln Tunnel traffic out of, and he was like a semi-truck. He's trying to back a 40-foot truck out of traffic because he didn't want a ticket.
He didn't so speak even English.
If, you know what? It doesn't matter. At that point, now you know you're being an asshole because now everybody's honking at you. So I just feel like this is Mercury retrograde vibe. Everyone's being an asshole. Everybody's leaning on their horn and everybody needs to cut it out.
Yes.
I've had enough. I've had enough. I think we're getting to the end of it. It should be ending soon. But it's been a thing.
It has been a thing. Do you know what I did to, because, you know, with Mercury, you don't have enough time to, like, settle in with the vibes.
Yeah.
So yesterday, do you know what I made Josh do? I made him take me to this, like, kids zoo.
Tell me. I love zoos. I'm all about the zoo. Okay, this is going to sound bad. I now am getting to a point where I feel a little torn about zoos because of, like, you know, conservatorship of animals versus keeping them penned up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, personally, I've always loved zoos. But go on. You went to the zoo and that's a fun thing. Go.
This place is clean. It's like family owned. They know what they're doing. I totally know what you mean about keeping animals penned up, but it's called Bear Country USA, and there's a part where you can drive through and you can see like reindeer or elk or whatever. And it's kind of like, oh yeah, it's a great place. Like if you have little kids or whatever, there's a part where you drive through and you can see bears like jumping in the water or like laying on logs. Like it's cute. And then you can walk through, it's like, I don't know, half mile, quarter mile, who knows? It's a big open area. And when you look down, they have these like large open spaces and they have baby cubs just like running and playing and chasing each other. And I just like, I was in heaven because nothing
that
like
sounds,
it was nothing brings me more joy than like baby animals just living their best life in a happy environment. I don't know. And it was a beautiful day and other people were happy and just enjoying the animals. And we were all just kind of like chilling. No one was fighting. No one was worried about COVID or, you know, any other pandemic regulations. We were all like being friendly. We were all enjoying the animals and enjoying the nice day. It was just nice. And it was like the first time it was a nice outing. That doesn't happen. When's the last time I had a nice outing with like other general public? Never.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because number one, when are we happy around other humans? Because they generally suck.
Never. Never.
They're usually leaning on the horn, like I said.
Yeah. Right?
Everybody's pissed at each other.
I know.
So that's so nice. And seeing the bears playing, that sounds adorable.
I know. I wanted to send you pictures, but I was like, I have to save this for the podcast because, like, how often do just like nice things happen? And I was like,
Not a lot.
I'm soaking this in. Like, I was like, all right, when's the other foot gonna drop? Because is the car gonna break down into 1,000 pieces as we pull out of the parking lot? Because, like, it was just an enjoyable day. And I was like, with all the weird shit that has gone on, why was today, like, there was no humidity. It was like perfect fallish weather. I got to wear a fall outfit and not be sweating. You know what I
I'm
mean?
jealous of that. Absolutely. We're still like hitting 80 degree highs generally every day. So I'm jealous of that. I wish I could wear a sweater. I mean, in the mornings when I go out, it's maybe 65, 70.
Right.
So, I mean, I could wear a sweater in the mornings, but it's still like t-shirt weather. So, not able to wear really any fall things yet. Although I have absolutely, I've sent you the pictures, absolutely put out the Halloween stuff.
Oh yeah.
100%. And this past weekend, we cleaned out the garage. So I took out the bins of the outside stuff. So I put out the inside stuff, but now the outside stuff's coming up. So
Nice.
yeah, my
Nice.
neighbors can start enjoying that. I don't care. It's going up. I mean, look, it's almost October. We've
Yeah.
only got a week and a half.
It's time to
So,
enjoy it.
100%, especially if Lowe's is going to put out their Christmas shit. Best believe I'm going to put out the Halloween stuff now, because I guess I'm not going to get to enjoy that. Holy
That
shit.
set me off. That set me off.
I cannot
That
believe.
set me
For a second, I was a little bit happy because when we pulled up and parked on the outside, they had put a skeleton riding the tractor. So I ran up and I took a selfie with the skeleton. I'm like, oh, that warms my heart. They're putting up something for Halloween. And then I walked inside and Mariah Carey and the Santa's out. And I was like, what is happening here? September. Can you let me have Halloween for a minute?
I literally was like furrowing my brow, and I was like, I shouldn't be able to do this. I need Botox. And now I'm mad that I need Botox.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was the other thing is that immediately after I recorded the TikTok, I was like, hold on a minute. Now I'm seeing a lot of wrinkles on my forehead that I've not been seeing before. And I can already hear my mother's voice in my head because my entire adolescence, she would place a thumb in between my eyebrows every time I would furrow my eyebrows. And she would say, you shouldn't get so angry about everything. You're going to give yourself wrinkles.
Yes,
And
my mom did
here I
that
am.
too. My mom would say, my mom literally says, don't rub your eyes, you're gonna need Botox. I'm like, Jesus Christ, woman. I'm
Did
eight.
they take a class? Did
No.
they take a class?
Don't know.
Things to say to your child that will haunt them later.
I don't know, but I think
Wow.
about it every time I rub my face now. God damn it.
Thanks, Mom.
That
Thanks.
trauma.
Ooh. So, speaking about, well, go on. Were you going to say something else about the Christmas stuff or the bears?
No, I actually, so I am stealing this from Reddit, but I wanted to do it on the podcast, and I think we could keep it like a running theme a little bit, but I totally owe credit to Reddit. But it's a long running thread, and it's the title of it is What is a Hill That You Will Totally Die On?
Ooh. There's
And
so many.
there's so
There's
many, right? But I was
so
thinking
many.
we could make it true crime themed, and I can make it easy with a couple, and then we can go to like totally niche or totally like ones either that people have never heard of or ones that
Ooh.
maybe I've never heard of, and you can like tell me. But I could start easy with like JonBenet Ramsey. I think her brother did it. That's the hill I will die on.
Okay, so I do believe that, but would I die on that hill? That's like a that's a strong statement that you would die on that hill.
Yeah, it is.
And after going to Crime Con and sitting in that audience, listening to her dad talk about it, I don't know that I will die on that hill. I do think so. I do think that's what happened based on all the evidence. Beyond a benefit of a doubt, like if I would sit in that jury box and convict him, I'm not going to die on that hill. Sorry.
Wow.
I know that's coming out of left field. And you know what? If you'd asked me about that maybe a year ago, I might have gone up on that hill with you, Steph. But I have a different feeling about, you know, putting people, like, I just feel differently about going to sleep at night being in that jury box. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to die on that hill.
Mm-mm. Do you have a different opinion of who did it? Like a total random person breaking through that window and coming in at night?
You know what it is that after listening to her dad on stage, and I'm so sorry if he ever listens to this, and you know what, this is just my opinion. Mm-hmm. They had so much money, mm-hmm. and I do think that her parents know who did it, and that Patsy and him did have a hand in covering it up, mm-hmm. and not necessarily that the son did it, but that they had a lot of money, and that maybe somebody else was pissed off, mm-hmm. so that maybe somebody else came in and did it. Mm-hmm. So that I do think that they covered it up. I do think that they knew. However, I'm just not so sure that the son did it.
Okay.
So I think that they had a lot of money and maybe other people that were pissed off. And I think, especially because the Denver Police Department refuses to look back into the evidence, and I can't imagine why else they would continue to protect that evidence so hard, unless there was either they're protecting their own mistakes because they fucked it up.
Well, or because that's a given, yeah.
Or they are protecting whoever they know who did it because that other person has connections or money. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying I just don't know that I want to die on that hill.
I wonder if someone else has to die or something has to happen to shake that case up.
I almost wonder if he'll say something when he's dying.
Like on his deathbed confession?
Yes, yes. Mm. I mean, we can hope. I mean, oh my God, that's terrible to say, but we're a dark podcast. I mean, I'm gonna talk about that later. But
okay. All right.
Is there another hill, or you want me to go on a hill for true crime?
Do you have one ready, or do you want me to go again to get the wheels turning?
Oh, hold on a second. So I think I have a hill that I will die on.
Okay.
I will go with the H.H. Holmes House of Horrors.
Uh-huh.
This is the hill I'm going to die on, and one episode, maybe, we'll go into it, because I've read a whole book on this. That is a myth. That whole horror story, this whole mansion of horrors, that didn't exist. Not the way you think it did, and I will die on that hill.
So, like, the entire hotel didn't exist, or...
That the hotel had all these chambers with chutes that, like, he constructed this, you know, with bodies dropping right into the basement, and hundreds of people were killed. No, he was not that person. He was not that sophisticated. This did not exist. He was not that person. He did not kill all those people. That mansion did not exist that way. This is just this fantasy thing that then turned into American Horror Story, and that building did not exist that way. No.
I do believe he was a scam artist that married multiple women for life insurance.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, he was a real person, and he was a con artist, and I definitely think he had a hand in killing people. But that whole idea that he constructed this mansion and, like, killed all these women in these sophisticated chambers, like, over and over again? Absolutely not.
Okay. That's crazy, because I grew up in Chicago, and so we are totally like, yeah, that post office, that's where that hotel was.
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't. Mm-mm. It's like it's one of those things that's like this urban legend, really.
Right?
Except that everybody's bought into it.
And how did he do it all supposedly by himself?
Right. Well, so that's one of the things. And so, I mean, this whole book that I read about, like, the golden age of serial killers. And so he was like this precursor to that. And he sort of like became this legend, but he fed into it and then other people jumped off of it. And that's not an altogether uncommon thing that we in America have done with serial killers. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of this amazing phenomena. Mm-hmm. And we like to do this sort of as Americans in general. We like to be the best at things.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to say, but even in really sick ways, we like to be the best at dark things. And
sure.
We like to, so even like, we want to be having the worst serial killers. We want to have the worst dark stories.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, he didn't. No. Mm-mm. Like today, I was listening today. Somebody was reading off an article that was written about Ted Bundy. And this was like really like in the 80s, right after he had been caught. And talking about how he had killed like 300 women. No, he fucking didn't. No, he fucking didn't. He killed like 30. Like, get the fuck out of here. And that was extrapolated because he was not convicted of that many either. So it's this idea. And so, no, there is absolutely zero evidence, actually, that that building even existed.
True.
So that idea that he had this mansion with all of these chutes and ladders and gas chambers
and,
and burning incinerators in the basement is a complete fallacy. There's actually zero evidence of those floor plans, zero evidence that it was constructed. Like, it's, we'll go into it one day. I have it like tucked away because it's like a huge nugget to unravel.
It's a lot.
Right. Yeah, but no, okay. I would die on that hill.
Mm-hmm. I believe, and this is kind of a recent thing, but I believe Jack the Ripper was a woman.
Whoa.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I don't 100% know why I believe this, but just something tells me it was. Women can be strong. Maybe she was a butcher. Maybe she was a farm girl or something, and something happened where she had a botched abortion, or something happened to her where she didn't like other women, or she had a vendetta against them. And that's where she started on her spree. And she, to not get caught, she dressed up as a man because no one's going to look at a man going out at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
stab, stab, stab.
I could get behind that. Yeah. I mean, I could get behind that if you think about it. Maybe even that's how she could get close to other women, because mm-hmm. you would trust another woman. And even, I mean, if you really want to get dark, if another woman needed help getting an abortion
yep.
or getting other kinds of female care, you would want a woman who had surgical tools.
Right.
And you'd allow her to get really close and maybe even drug you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you were in a stupor and really vulnerable, she could cut you open and do whatever she wanted.
That's how she could flee fast, is she just put on a cloak and a hat and just escape. And no one, I mean, it was foggy and night, and there's tons of pollution in England at that time. And so they just see another top hat running away, sure. and they just think, oh, it's a dude leaving a whorehouse or whatever.
Sure. Also, that would explain if she was also some kind of practitioner who was helping women get abortions, then that would explain her surgical skill. That would explain how she knew anatomy. That would explain why she already had the tools. I mean, that would be really fascinating. So it's very interesting.
I just think that for some reason, I don't know, maybe I've heard that theory somewhere else, but I just kind of am like, what? I mean, it's not crazy for a woman to dress up like a man.
Especially, no, not at all.
Especially for protection.
No, like, I mean, it's been done plenty of times.
So that's what I think. I mean, I have no real evidence to back that up other than a theory. But I think it's interesting. I think it's a vibe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. All right. Okay, so here's one. I could give you plenty of evidence on this, and I would die on this hill. One of the biggest serial killers of our time, currently in business, and no one's doing fucking shit about it, Johnson & Johnson. I will die on this fucking hill. Let me tell you, just listened to this yesterday on NPR. So Johnson & Johnson baby powder, okay?
Yes.
Sprinkled all over babies, all over the place, especially through, you know, the 1950s through the 1980s, huge. I know that now we tell parents, or at least I know as a young parent and as a nurse now, we don't tell parents to use baby powder anymore. And I don't know what the formulary is now for baby powder, but I sure as fuck would tell my kids or anybody having babies not to use baby powder.
Is it the
unnecessary
talc?
So yes, but also, how about there was asbestos in it?
Oh yeah,
straight up asbestos. So what happens, guys? We know asbestos causes cancer. We know that. It's not a secret.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
We know that if you breathe it in, it gives you lung cancer. In the same way, if it gets inside of your body in any other way, it will give you mesothelioma, right? So when it was sprinkled on babies, okay, on a male baby, much less likely to get inside their organs because all the genitalia is outwards. That's why male babies also very unlikely for males in general to get UTIs, right? Urinary tract infections. But female babies, they get powder on them and the powder would go inside. So then you would have an entire generation and many generations of women who are now dying of cancer, particularly ovarian cancer, but in general, cancer in their bodies and particularly mesothelioma.
Oh my God.
And these women are trying to sue Johnson & Johnson. Because they know that this powder got into their bodies and caused this.
Yeah.
Johnson & Johnson, okay, is saying, we don't think so. But, I mean, get the fuck out. Yes, you do. This is like an Erin Brockovich situation. Also, only 40,000 women are filing these class action lawsuits. There must be at least 10 times as many women who either already died or don't know well enough to have joined this lawsuit.
Well, it's common. It was just common knowledge. Like baby powder goes on a baby before a diaper. I remember doing that to my own cousins and
siblings. Yeah. I mean, I did it to my cousins. I did it when babysitting. That's what we were taught because you were taught that you wanted to keep the area dry. If you left a baby in a wet diaper, then a baby gets a rash. And even now, except that now we use diaper rash cream to create a barrier on the skin instead of using powder. Anyway, powder clumps. But anyway. But what did Johnson & Johnson do? NPR taught me that in 2021, Johnson & Johnson very quietly created a subsidiary company, pushed all the liability, particularly just for their baby powder product, onto this subsidiary company. And then immediately, the subsidiary company filed for bankruptcy. Yeah, motherfuckers, so that all of those women who filed that class action lawsuit would get nothing.
Johnson
so don't
Johnson,
fucking tell
you can
me.
Afford it.
Yep. So that number one, don't tell me that you didn't think you were liable because clearly you knew it. Because why else would you fucking do that move?
Between that, the Tylenol murders and like all the other shit, like what the fuck?
I mean, let's not even get into the Saccharin family. I mean, a red-handed did a great fucking episode on that whole family's like a cartel because of the fucking OxyContin that they dumped on this country. But I just wanted to die on that hill for Johnson & Johnson. Pieces of shit. They are so fucking rich. And then, you know, they played a little clip of an interview of a woman who was talking about, like, what she was going through when she filed this paperwork. And then they talked about how, like, she just died. Oh. So, like, she's not even going to see the end of it. And they were talking about, like, how many more women are going to die before this even makes it to court?
It's like the next generation of the Radium Girls in a way.
Yep. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I mean, we've seen this over and over again in history. I mean, this is not new. We've seen companies do this. You know, they cause harm and then they say it's not our fault. And sometimes they get a smack on the wrist. Very rarely they actually pay for their mistakes. And often if they do, it's too little and too late. But yeah, you want to talk about serial killers? I will put them right up on the fucking list. They are well aware of what they did. They are not sorry for it. They could pay up. And then one of their representatives gave some bullshit like, oh, well, forming this company and filing bankruptcy is actually a way for us to get to a settlement table faster. Fuck you.
It's a cop out.
No, your attorneys could have taken it to a table and put a couple of million dollars on the fucking table for each of these women real fucking quick. So don't come at me with this bullshit. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. So
there's no backbone there. That was no integrity. There was no morality.
No. Yeah. So they can go. They can go on to the fuck you corner. Right there. They can go back to that corner. And yeah. So I'll die on that hill.
Bye.
We're going to wipe our hands of that. On a brighter note, just so everybody is aware, Mercury retrograde will be over probably by the time this posts. It'll be over on October 1st.
Yay.
That's our light at the end of the tunnel. On to happy things.
Mm-hmm.
I was absolutely tickled when my son got in the car yesterday. Because as a senior in high school, he's taking forensics. I want to give a big shout out to Mrs. Miller. Hi. She's awesome. She gave them a little assignment yesterday. She gave them a page with pictures of criminals.
Okay.
And the activity was to look at these pictures and try to decide how bad they were based on their appearance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fascinating look into the human mind, right? Yeah. You know, we tend to think that the better looking someone is, the more harmless they are.
Right?
So, yeah, I thought that was fascinating. I thought that was really cool. The pictures she showed them weren't of particularly all serial killers.
Yeah.
There were different kinds of criminals. some of them, you know, were gangsters. Some of them, you know, had committed human trafficking. There were all kinds. However, guess who was on there that we never hear about? How about Tsutomu Miyazaki?
No way!
Yes! I was just like, get the fuck out.
I don't like her. She can sit with us.
That's what I said. I was like, you know what? Conflict of interest, but once he graduates, definitely want to bring her on for a little chat, because super cool lady.
That is so niche and cool, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I mean, she's super cool, because every summer she chaperones the kids that go to Europe for their summer trip, which, I mean, what a fucking handful. So props to them, because I know, right? Taking all those kids all over the place.
Why?
I mean, you know, I mean, nice to take a trip, but I mean, ugh, children. So, but gave me such a fun idea. Now, before we start, I am going to say, listeners, if you have a hard time with dark comedy, you need to step away right now. First of all, this is not the podcast for you.
Well,
but
<no.
laughs> certainly, this isn't the segment for you. And you can like fast forward 10 minutes. But we use our humor to make these things less scary. And it isn't because we find this stuff funny. It's not because we think what these people did is okay. I feel like I shouldn't have to say this, but I don't understand when critics look at dark comedy and somehow try to make it about not having compassion. Stephanie and I have so much compassion. It's what drives us to examine true crime to this extent. And shedding light on these dark subjects and poking fun at them is what allows us to take back a little control over the fear and over this darkness. It's not for everybody, and that's okay. We're not going to judge anybody. And in turn, we're telling you that we don't give a shit about your opinion, so they can fuck off.
Yeah.
And we're nobody's here to judge anybody.
Agreed.
But if you're here, if you're here for a good time, we're going to play a little game based on this homework assignment. And it's like Smash or Pass. I mean, it's not like. It is. It's Serial Killer Smash or Pass. And we're not here to shame, because surprise, surprise, in the real world, if we met these people, we wouldn't know that they're bad. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. That was the point of this exercise for these kids, is that we are fooled by good-looking people all the time. We're human, and we're stupid, and we think that when someone is cute or charming, that they won't do bad things to us.
You can't judge a book by its cover.
But we do. But we do. And we're going to right now. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to text you a picture, Stephanie.
Okay.
All right. And I'll tell you who it is if you don't know. I'm assuming you're going to know who it is, but I'm going to text it to you. I'm going to tell the listener who I've sent you. And purely on physicality and your personal preference, obviously, you're going to tell me if it's a smash or pass. All right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right? Okay. Just physical things, because guess what? If I was in a library and Dennis Rader came up to me, that's BTK if nobody knows, and he said, do you want to go to Applebee's and get some nachos? I still would have turned that fucker down, because you know what? He looks like a mole rat to me.
He does.
Okay. I think he's just not attractive to me. But honestly, if that was Ted Bundy, I'm not gonna lie, I would have gotten in that buggy. I would be dead.
I would have helped him, like, put the kayak in the back of the car or whatever it was.
Yeah. So everybody can stop pretending like they're better than us. All right, let's go.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Let me get the first picture up. I'm going to send it over to you. This one's a straight up classic. This is real easy. Okay. Tell me who that is, Steph.
Oh, that's Bundy.
All right. So you just said you'd put the canoe in the car, right?
I put the canoe in the car. I'd be dead.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
Smash.
Mm-hmm. I mean... Yeah, a little on the skinny side for me, but I mean...
It was the classic... 70s. In the 70s, smash. If it were today, yeah. I'd be like...
Mm, yeah, right? Depends when and where.
I have a friend who might like you.
Yeah, depends what phase I'm in, but typically not a pass for me.
Yeah.
All right? I'm going to send you another one with a little caveat. Okay, because for me, this guy, when he was younger, I definitely would have passed on his long hair. But the older version, I would have hit it.
Let's see. Oh, really?
In that older with the haircut, yeah, I would have hit it. 6 feet, yeah.
Wow.
Tell me who it is.
Dahmer.
Dahmer.
I would say the Netflix version, smash.
Definitely the Netflix version. I mean, the Netflix version of any of these, I think, is like the golden version of them.
pass. But I'm gonna tell you why. Because he looks like he'd be sticky. Like he always looked like he was a little like he needed a shower.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, I'm gonna send you the next one.
Oh, you know what? In a different time in my life, smash. Because I was a dark, dark birdie. And not, I know who that is. But if I didn't know who that is, I'd be like, will you suck the blood out of me?
So, I sent Steph a picture of Richard Ramirez.
Yeah, he's psycho, though. But... he's scary.
If we didn't know,
I'd be like, yeah, we're Machine Gun Kelly and, you know.
So for me, it's a pass, but I'm going to tell you why. I tend to not date within my own culture.
Really?
No. It's something about white on rice.
Oh my God, that's racist.
Sorry. No. It's something about I want something different than my own. It's just something that's like, I don't know, something that's within my own like romantic profile. I tend to be attracted to what's opposite of me. So I've always been attracted to what's not Hispanic. So, but that's not because I don't think he's attractive if he keeps his mouth closed.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's got to fix those
teeth. He's got to fix the teeth. Objectively speaking, like in the picture I sent you, gorgeous cheekbones, gorgeous hair. I just don't typically, I don't find myself physically attracted to my own subset. I know that depending on who's listening to this, they're going to text me immediately and be like, you fucking hypocrite, because my first husband was Hispanic. However... if you saw him, I mean, he's super white with green eyes.
Yeah.
So not your typical Hispanic. However, right, I'm going to send you the...
I totally dig. To me, it's not like the Hispanic thing. He was like kind of rock star vibes, like dark.
Yeah.
That's what...
Definitely rock star.
I thought
yes,
it was like
very
cool.
Much the rock star vibe.
So that's what I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Now, I sent you the next one. That is a young picture of Eileen Wuornos.
She looks totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Smash.
That's why I picked a young picture of her. Yeah, me too. I would smash. Young picture of her, very different than her prison photos, which all make her look like
shit.
A crazy person.
Yeah, her older picture, she just had a really hard... I mean, she was not given another hill I will die on. She should not have been given the death penalty.
Absolutely. I would die on that hill, too. They talk about being made an example of. That was a travesty. She should not have been given the death penalty.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
But smash. Young Eileen Wuornos, smash.
Absolutely. Now, this next one. I'm going to pass on this because of the fucking bangs and the dead look in her eyes. I want to smack her. She looks like every popular girl that ever gave me a hard time, and it pisses me off. Carla Homolka.
I feel like she'd be really mean to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, pass. Pass because, you know what? No. Just no. Mm-mm. Yeah, I know some people would say smash kind of looks like maybe she could go on the cover of Sweet Valley High. not traditionally, you know, unattractive. Just, I don't like her face. She's got a puss on her face. No. Pass. All right. The next one. Tell me if you recognize who that is, because I feel like his face looks the same as it does as an old man. Stephanie, remember when we first started the podcast and we were clueless about where to start?
I'm pretty sure we're all clueless, Natalia, but lucky for you, I knew the perfect place to start, Anchor.
We are lucky that we found Anchor, and even more lucky that we found each other. But our listeners don't need luck now that they know if they want to start their own podcast, Anchor is the way to go.
Anchor is everything you need to have a podcast. With both a desktop and mobile app, we can record, edit, and launch all of our content within one program. Natalia and I think of Anchor as our daddy.
Daddy Anchor gives us one easy place where we can build all the episodes, and it automatically launches to all the best listening platforms like Spotify and Apple. It's my favorite kind of relationship. Anchor gives me everything I want, and it's free.
When you're ready to start a podcast, Anchor is going to make it easy. And then you will all realize how two armchair detectives like us managed to pull this off. Available on the App Store, Google Store, basically anywhere where you do a Google search, you can find it right there.
You have a picture, a young picture of someone that I said, I think his face looks pretty much the same now as an old man. But tell me if you know who it is. If I'll tell you.
Oh, black and white, yes. Photo. So pass. And I know who that is. And it's an old picture of Joseph D'Angelo, right?
Yes. And I am also going to say, yeah, Joseph, do not pass, because he's got a dumb face.
He does. He looks like a dope.
Right? He does. He reminds me. And no shade if anyone thinks this is a cute face, but I never did. He reminds me of the guy from Frozen. What's his name? The one that Anna falls in love with. Not Olaf. Olaf is the snowman, right?
The snowman.
Not the snowman. The love interest. Hans. Is it Hans? Yeah, whoever rides the reindeer around.
Yeah, the blonde hair dude.
Yeah, not into it. Not into that oafish face. don't like it. Pass. So I've sent you a picture. I don't think you'll recognize who it is, but I'll tell you. It's a young picture of our favorite little soap maker, Leonarda.
That's her? I would have never have gotten that.
I know. We've only ever seen pictures of her as the old lady. So I went looking for her as a young lady, because her as an old lady is a definite pass.
Yeah. I mean, still a pass, but she's, I don't know. She's very, I like those old fashioned pictures.
Yes. I do love those old fashioned pictures. Also a pass for me. She just kind of looks very severe. I don't know how to explain it. She's got, again, a mean face.
Yeah, she's very intense.
Yeah, if she approached me and was like, do you want to come back to my hut for tea cakes? That would be a pass for me. Yes, I wouldn't fall for that. Yeah, would not be interested in that exchange. All right, I've got two, three more.
Okay.
Next one. This is an old-timey, so this one's actually a painting. This is Elizabeth Bathory.
Is that the one who bathed in blood?
Yeah, the Hungarian princess.
Yeah.
Killed like 300 of her young maids and peasants in her kingdom.
Naive enough that I would be like, I want to be friends with her and not realize that all my friends are disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm going to say smash. I think she looks cute enough in the paintings, and not going to lie, I would definitely be enticed by the royalty. That puffy dress, I'm totally into that time period, into the corsets. Mm-hmm. The trappings, I would definitely be, let me hold your train.
the promise of living in a castle.
Yes. Let me be part of the entourage. Let me get the step up the ladder. Let me climb that social ladder. Inventing Anna, I'll do that. Come on. Let me join your train, Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that one.
Yep, I'd be dead. Here was an interesting one, because I'm going to be honest, I'm very familiar with his name, very familiar with the story, did not know that's really what he looked like. Tell me if you know who that is.
He looks like he could be Gene Simmons in another lifetime, but I don't know who that is.
Oh, that is Jim Jones.
Really?
And for anyone who doesn't know what Jim Jones looked like, go Google it. He looks like a 1970s Asian pop star.
Yeah.
Really snazzy suit, geometric patterns, gorgeous slicked back hair, very clean cut, gorgeous skin, like really very, I don't know, very glamorous look to him, which I just didn't expect. I thought Jim Jones was going to have a very, like, I don't know, just not what I expect for a cult leader in the 70s. I don't know.
He looks like a used car salesman, and I would say pass because I don't trust him.
Absolutely a pass. He looks kind of like my dad, I'm going to be honest. And I don't mean that in a nice way. He looks like a slick guy who's going to con you out of your money. Looks like a fucking liar. Definitely got that used, you know, car salesman look. Definitely going to pass. Just not what I thought of when I thought of, like, a hippie cult leader. Not. So I'm going to send you the last one. Here's the last one. And I did not know this is what he looked like. This is the Boston Strangler, Albert DeSalvo.
He looks like, he definitely looks like he's in the mob.
Definitely looks like a mobster. Yep. You know, clean suit. Looks like he could be a businessman. Looks like he could be, you know, straight out of Goodfellas, right?
Yes. Straight out of Goodfellas. Ray Liotta.
Ready to, you know, take out a hit on somebody. I'm going to say, I mean, he looks a little older in this pick. I'm going to say maybe if he took me out, spent some money on me, put a fur coat on me, maybe I'm drinking a lot of wine. I might smash that.
Yeah, I have a thing for Italian guys. I probably would smash that because he looks like he could be charming and charismatic. And I would fall for that. He looks like he'd be wealthy. And if I was, like, maybe younger and needed that in my life, I guess. I don't know if I needed that part fulfilled, you know?
Oh, yeah. I got them daddy issues.
Yeah,
not gonna front. Not gonna front.
I think that's what I'm saying without saying it.
Tell me without telling me. I would smash the Boston Strangler. Ding, ding.
So, I think that's just what I said without saying it.
Yeah. And I mean, the Jersey girl in me just screams for the mobster. So, take me out to a nice steakhouse and give me a fur coat. And, you know,
is the that dark. A meek?
You know, tall, dark, and handsome. What can I say? Mm-hmm. So, all right, that concludes our dark and twisted game of serial killer smash or pass. That's a vibe.
That is a vibe. That's going to be fun to play on Instagram with everyone.
Right? That's,
I love it.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. I love it.
So what do we have for our story today? I have no idea what you've been working on.
Okay. So this is the story of Tammy Faye and Jim Baker. I have to be honest, I knew quite a bit about Tammy Faye because of her makeup, because of her eyelashes. because of her glamorous sequin outfits and being over the top with her permed hair in the 80s and 90s and being on, you know, the Drew Carey show, the talk show circuit, things like that. I knew she was married to like a real estate guy. Didn't really know much about Jim Baker because I was a little bit younger. I didn't grow up in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But I knew there was controversy around that. I just didn't know how much and how fucked up it was. So let's get into it. Did you know much about Tammy Faye, Jim Baker, that whole Mm-mm. story?
No. Just very superficially know the details. Not really. Just in my periphery.
Let's get into it. Tammy Faye. Miss Tammy Faye was born in International Falls, Minnesota. So right up there, that rooftop of Minnesota, right next to there, almost could be Canada could take it over and no one would notice. It's a town, it's conservative, small, only about 6,000 people. It probably still has 6,000 people to this day. I have no idea. But she was born Tammy Faye LaVallee, March 7th, 1942, to parents Rachel, Minnie, and Carl Oliver LaVallee. Her Pentecostal preacher's parents were divorced shortly after Tammy was born. And that really, it quote, soured her mother against other ministers, and it alienated them from the church. So both parents remarried, and Tammy became the eldest of 8 children of a now blended family of the now Rachel and Fred Willard Rober. So now it's Rachel and Fred are the parents, and Tammy is the oldest of 8 kids, and she helps raise the younger siblings, and it's a very strict conservative Christian household. And everything that you think, do you know about like the Pentecostal church? I honestly did not know much about it other than what I saw in movies.
So interestingly enough, there is a pretty strong foothold in the Hispanic community of the Pentecostal church. And I actually have an aunt who is married to a Pentecostal, I guess they're considered like reverends.
Okay.
And we don't really talk about it. And right. Although I'm close, like I was always close to my aunt and I always saw her and I saw my cousins, like her daughters, like he was never around, and I'm not really like, I'm not sure how that worked. However, I'm aware that that's who he was. And I'm aware that they do very, how do you say, expressive religion, let's call it. So when I think of Pentecostal, I think of the brimstone and fire, the shaking your fist in the air, they bring out serpents during their ceremony. Snake. Yeah, they bring out snakes. They will cast out demons by like striking you. They'll strike your forehead. People will faint during the, worships. They will do like healing of the blind, supposedly, and like these great miracles, like right in the middle of the fucking service, supposedly like casting out demons and shit. So it's like very like wild is what I would call it. So that's like what people, I think of when I think of Pentecostal.
Yeah, like people are rolling in wheelchairs and the preacher's casting a miracle and they're walking out. It's a miracle. They can walk again. Things right? like that.
They can see.
Yeah, it's very crazy. It's very enthusiastic is a good word of putting it. So if I'm using the incorrect terminology, I grew up Catholic, so it's a priest. It's a father. If it's not a preacher or minister, and I'm fucking this up, I'm sorry. I don't know any other
one. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not 100% sure either what the right term is, whether it's pastor or reverend or whatever, deacon, whatever the proper term is. Like, I think it's reverend, but I don't fucking know. Like, I'm just guessing. Like I said, like, I know who my aunt's married to. Like, I've met my... I'm putting sure. air quotes around uncle because I swear to God, I mean, they're still married to this day and I've maybe seen the man 5 times in my life. Okay.
For all intents and purposes, if I mess up, I'll just refer to him as daddy and we'll move on because, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But here is a little bit of what happened with Tammy growing up in this church. So Rachel, her mom, she played the piano in this church because of all 6,000 people in this town. Rachel just said, you know, they don't have anyone else to play this piano. Only I can. And they asked her to do it. But for some reason, Tammy wasn't allowed. I think her mom put a divide because, like she said, they were alienated because of this divorce. So Tammy would like sneak away and try to peek through the window to see what was going on because of all the commotion that was going on in the church, that she was trying to follow her mom's instructions. But just one day, she was like 8 or 9 years old, she hears all this commotion going on in the church. So she, like, bold as brass, opens up the front church doors and walks straight up to daddy or the preacher. And she sees this guy and he's got the Bible raised in the air and he's preaching and, you know, singing the gospel. And it affects her so deeply that Tammy is moved. She starts speaking in tongues and she starts like gyrating, like not having a seizure, but she collapses on the ground to the point where she wets herself. And with all the commotion going on, Rachel is like, what is going on up there? And she stops playing the piano and she's like, oh my God, that's my kid. She tries dragging Tammy out and she's like, I'm sorry, it's my kid and it won't happen again. Mm-hmm. And the churchgoers are like, no, this child is chosen. Mm. This child is special. You need to leave this child here. And so from then on, Tammy starts going to church because of this like event. The first time she ever goes to church, she, you know, start speaking in tongues.
Hey everyone, I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.